Welcome to episode 282 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, George, Sandy, and Donna. Tonight, we are thrilled to welcome back a very special guest to the podcast. Dan Brooks supervises book selection at Wake County Public Libraries and has 25 years experience matching books with their readers and readers with their books. So we've asked him here tonight to connect you with some great reads for your next adventure. So let's get started. So this is one of my favorite topics, books that make you feel excited about where you're going. So Dan, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit first about how you match readers with books, about the sort of the library science going on there. So how do you determine whether a book is right for a person?
So we want to ask the reader what they like in a book. Do they like the character? Is that important to them? There are several different sort of what we call appeal factors that are very important. Is the character flawed or quirky? Is the storyline important to them? Is it action-packed, character-driven? The pace, is it either very fast-paced or leisurely paced? There really is no medium-paced because that's just boring. And then the tone of the book, is it funny or bleak or sarcastic? The writing style, is it descriptive or gritty or lyrical? All those sorts of things go together. And then what books have you liked in the past? What books have you not liked in the past? If you haven't read anything in a while, what TV and movies have you enjoyed and or not enjoyed? Because that's equally as helpful, what you have not enjoyed. And in Wake County, we offer a service called custom book lists. You can go online or you can talk to a staff member in the library and fill out a short form describing those things that I described. And we will get back to you within a week with a list of 8 to 10 suggested books. Many libraries offer this. Not every library may have it as a formalized service with an online form. You may have to just go in and ask your librarian for a list of suggestions. That's one of the things librarians are happy to do in whichever format you prefer, whether you want print books or ebooks, CD, e-audio downloadable, or large print. Any of those formats will work. Just let the librarian know that you're looking for books to help you with a strong sense of place and which areas you're interested in. It could be someplace you're getting ready to go soon and you want to read about it, or maybe you want to start preparing for the trip you're planning next year if you're not traveling right away, or if you're not traveling and want to just travel by book, we can do that too.
Excellent. And so when you're preparing to travel, is it automatically going to be nonfiction as the best option?
Not necessarily. It's whatever the reader prefers. Nonfiction can be great and very informational. Some of the travel guides that are out there are great for that. Like the DK Eyewitness series is great for armchair travelers with lots of information and color pictures and stuff. And there's lots of nonfiction about different places, but novels certainly have a strong sense of place and can really give you a feel for the city or country that you're traveling to as well.
I think novels give a better connection, actually.
It's probably because you love novels.
Yeah, right.
Yes. But people think of, like Under the Tuscan Sun mm-hmm. is kind of a nonfiction story, but people sort of think of it as fiction because it
yes
plays out like a story.
Nonfiction that reads like fiction.
I never read it. I thought it was fiction.
Nope.
True story. Wow. Really happened.
Well, there's not much a story to it. It's actually just a almost like a diary. Mm-hmm. When they made the movie, they actually made it more into a fiction.
But there's still story in that because it's right. Character development, right? It's
yeah.
sort of the,
yes.
the person. Yeah. So,
and there's yeah. that. There's a whole sort of subgenre of travel essays that are nonfiction, real stories. Yeah.
I like reading Bill Bryson before I go somewhere because he's funny. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. So, when you, do you have a favorite book for place? Like something that you've read that you really... Like whenever you think of a book with place, like something that resonated with you and maybe made you want to travel there.
A couple that spring to mind. There's a few authors who are really known for writing books that are very in-depth historical accounts, novels usually of place like, you know, James Michener, of course. When I went to Hawaii and I read Hawaii just before I went there, that was an amazing experience to really get all of that history from, you know, the island first being settled, up through missionaries coming and up through, you know, the early 20th century. Other authors like that are Edward Rutherford, Ken Follett, Leon Uris. One of my favorites is Morgan Llewellyn, who writes sort of historical, sort of mythical, slightly on the edge of fantasy type realm, set in mostly ancient Ireland. And so that's made me always want to go to Ireland, which I still have yet to cross off my list.
Well, let's talk about that then, with not that you haven't gone to Ireland, although we should talk about that, but we can talk about that offline. But are there other books that sort of you feel invoke Ireland and would be good suggestions?
Well, you mentioned the Rutherford. I read two of his books on Ireland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yes. I read one of those actually when I went to Ireland, and actually after I came back, because they're really long.
Yes. Yeah. So both of them are like 800 pages. Yeah.
Him and Michener, they're doorstops. They're big books. Other books that would be great for a trip to Ireland would include classics like James Joyce, and as I mentioned, Leon Uris has written books set there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we talked about the difference between novels and nonfiction, true books, but then also within novels, you can have whatever the reader prefers, if they prefer historical fiction versus literary versus mystery or other genres. I mean, you can find a mystery set in any place in the world. They're all over. And a great one for Ireland is Tana French's Dublin Murder Squad series. So that would be another one that I would suggest for that.
Yeah, I would think the British Isles have lots of cozy mysteries that mm-hmm. you can read pretty much anywhere in the British Isles and in Ireland as well. So, okay, so my family is going to Alaska this summer. So do you have anything to suggest to us? And young adult books would be great too, if you happen to have any.
Yeah, one that would be a classic and would work for all ages is, of course, The Call of the Wild by Jack London. And of course, the new movie recently came out with Harrison Ford. It's an unusual dog named Buck who is basically dognapped and shipped off to Alaska during the Klondike Gold Rush. He quickly learns how to survive after being mistreated. He learns to become part of the wolf pack and finds the call of the wild before he ends up with his new human best friend. So, other books are The Great Alone by Kristen Hannah, which features 13-year-old Leni and her troubled family who go to a new life in Alaska's wilderness set in 1974, hoping this is finally a solution for her troubled POW father. In Alaska, Leni and her family are tested, and when a change comes there to their small community, her father's anger threatens to explode and divide the town. Trigger warning for domestic abuse.
Okay.
In that one, but
Kristen Hannah is like a typically
like a book club.
I don't want to say not really chick lit, but more right. Yeah,
like domestic,
kind of like
fiction
Jodi
or women's
kinda,
fiction. Yes,
yeah.
Similar to Jodi Picoult. Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, for as I said, there's a mystery set in every corner of the globe. Mm-hmm. The Kate Shugak mystery series by Dana Stabenow. It's a long-running series which began in the early 90s, but the newest volume just came out this year. These very atmospheric novels feature a female Alaskan detective and her dog interacting with colorful characters and vivid descriptions in different parts of Alaska.
Oh, I think I'm totally going to read one of those. Yep. I remember seeing those books, but I've never picked one up. And I had no idea they were set in Alaska.
Didn't Michener do an Alaska book,
yes.
too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have time for Michener.
I don't think
I can make that investment right now.
Get it on audio.
So we've headed to Alaska, and we'll continue in the easterly direction and southerly direction to Australia. Do you have any suggestions for Australia? I have a lot of clients headed there.
Well, you mentioned Bill Bryson. He's a favorite of mine as well. And his In a Sunburned Country is great. You know, despite the fact that Australia harbors more things that can kill you in extremely nasty ways than anywhere else, including sharks, crocodiles, snakes, even riptides and deserts, Bryson adores the place, and he takes the readers on a rollicking ride far beyond the beaten tourist path. Wherever he goes, he finds Australians who are cheerful, extroverted, and unfailingly obliging, as well as clean, safe cities, cold beer, and constant sunshine. So what's not to love about
it? Yeah, and
so that's nonfiction?
It is nonfiction, okay. But it reads very easily like fiction. It's not really a story, but it's just Bryson has that way of writing that really makes you feel like you're there.
He's a comedic writer too. Yes. So it's not just place. It's also language. Like he'll make you laugh out loud while you're reading. So you should read A Walk in the Woods.
Is it all like Australia and that kind of?
A Walk in the Woods is set in the Appalachian Mountains.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And he's written several about England because he was a American expat living in England for 20 years and married a Brit and then came back to the United States. And shortly after he was back in the United States, they were settled in New Hampshire, and a part of their property almost borders the Appalachian Trail going up there. And he decided, well, you know what, I'm going to go hike it. And so he did, and he had his very unusual friend with him. And they started down in Georgia and hiked pretty much all the way to Maine with a little gap in the middle. But it's a hilarious, hilarious account of what happened.
Yeah.
So.
So we weren't going to talk about the United States, but I had to throw that
in
because, And I love reading books that read, you know, that are nonfiction, but read like fiction because you get a lot of factual things in it along with some laughs. So anything else for Australia?
Yeah. Another one that's more in that kind of like Jodi Picoult domestic, somewhat literary contemporary fiction is The Dry by Jane Harper.
I've read that.
Eight words change everything for Agent Aaron Falk. Luke lied. You lied. Be at the funeral. Summoned by the father of his former best friend, it appears Luke went on a rampage, murdering his wife, son, and then himself. At Luke's father's request, Aaron agrees to look into the murder-suicide and learns that the small town has long held grudges and secrets that may best be kept hidden in this atmospheric, chilling, complex tale of anger and revenge. And then there's a sequel to that called Force of Nature, which is also set in Australia.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I read it for a book club that I ended up not going to.
But you read the book?
Oh, I did.
See, that's unusual. Usually people don't read the book and go to the book club. So that is definitely strange. Any others for Australia?
Again, there's a mystery for every corner of the globe. And mystery author Carrie Greenwood has two different series set in Melbourne. The Karina Chapman series is told from a first-person point of view as a baker set in modern-day Melbourne. And then her Fryn Fisher series is set in the 1920s, where she's an independent, aristocratic, and rather glamorous private investigator. So depending on whether you want modern day or a little glamour from the 1920s.
And look, that later one was just made into a movie. It was a TV show in Australia, Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. It's excellent. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's on Netflix. 2.5 seasons it survived. And it had such a fan base, they actually did a Kickstarter to make a movie.
Wow.
And the movie's already grossed over $1 million in Australia. I have a friend who's a super fan who went to the premiere and took pictures with all the actors. And I'm very jealous. But the costuming is so, I mean, it's very glamorous. And Phryne is kind of a, she's a feminist for sure and very unusual character for that time. So she pretty much declares herself a detective and suddenly stumbles upon dead bodies. So yeah, my favorite. Mm-hmm. I do hear the book. If you've seen the show, my understanding is the books are very different and I need to go back and read them because I caught the show first. And when I was about to go back and read it, my super fan friend was like, it's a different feel. It's not quite as, you know, not quite the same feel as a TV show. The TV show gussied it up.
Almost always.
Always the case. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. So another place that I have a lot of clients going to this year is Paris. And I know there's a lot out there for Paris. You have some suggestions?
There is a lot of books out there for Paris. And again, talk to your local librarian and tell them exactly what type of books you want to read and they can get you a good list. But, you know, again, we mentioned Edward Rutherford, who writes those really big, in-depth historical novels. And he wrote one called Paris, which takes readers on a journey through the Parisian history, a multi-generational saga, beautifully illuminates the City of Lights from its founding under the Romans to the hotbed of cultural activity in the 1920s and 30s. So, you know, again, one of those sweeping epics. There's The Little Paris Bookshop by Nina George, which focuses on Jean Perdue, the owner of a literary apothecary, a floating bookshop. When a new tenant in his apartment building sets in motion events that force Jean to reevaluate his past, he finds himself floating off down the rivers of France in search of lost love, new love, and friends he didn't know he needed.
Did you say a floating bookstore?
Yes.
So it's on the
Seine. Yep.
That's cool. For a minute, I thought you were going all science fiction-y and fantasy on me.
No, not spaceship. And again, a mystery for every corner of the globe. Cara Black's Amy LeDuc's mystery series, featuring a sleuth who's sassy, stubborn, and a computer security detective who wears vintage designer clothes. These are character-driven mysteries that mix the personal lives of the characters with complex stories that are set in different areas of Paris and brilliantly evoke each location's past and present. So that one start with Murder in the Marais.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So for people who really like character but want a sense of place as well, exactly. Then that would be a great one. Awesome. Any others?
That's all I had for Paris.
Yeah, you did really well. So when I invited Dan here, I laughed a little bit because he's a huge science fiction and fantasy reader. So you ask about place and it's like The Martian.
Middle Earth.
Yeah, we won't be traveling there anytime soon. But, well, I guess Middle Earth would be a good one for Australia if you're going to pop over to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tolkien stuff would work for that. So more the movies, but they say that it's very evocative of the books too, which is why he filmed it there. So.
You had mentioned also Ken Follett. He's one of my favorites. Pillars of the Earth is probably my favorite book. I think I've read it like 3 times.
Yeah.
And the sequels are okay, but that one was just so epic. So good.
He's a man who knows something about building cathedrals, and he has a new little book that he's put out about Notre Dame that's just coming out now, and he's dedicating the proceeds to help rebuild.
Oh, fantastic. It's fiction?
Or is it? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I think it's a nonfiction, sort of more
the history,
the condensed history. Yeah.
Awesome.
He's written a lot of good, like World War II era books too, that are just fantastic. But the Pillars of the Earth is like the 1200s or 14. I don't know. It's a long time ago. I can't remember exactly, but
yeah,
maybe wanted to go see all the cathedrals in England. And,
yeah. I think it's so helpful when you do things like that. I actually read Paris. Well, I read half of it before I went to Paris the last time. And it talks a lot about the construction of the Eiffel Tower, but it weaves that into the story. So it's about people who worked on it and you know, they sort of interacted with Gustav. And actually there's a scene where Victor Hugo is, his funeral procession is going by. So you sort of get these little moments that aren't central to the story, but you know that they're happening. Yeah. And as you're walking down streets in Paris, you think about what the Eiffel Tower looks like from here. And, you know, you get these sort of, there's a big department store storyline in there where a department store was created and the owner of it was, you know, became very prosperous and then had trouble with his daughters and that sort of thing. And just, you know, sort of walking around the buildings and you see these old facades that were used to be department stores that are now broken up into apartments or other things. And it definitely illuminates the setting if you can get through the whole book.
That would be a cool thing to do though, like to take a tour that talks about stuff like that, because they do tours that are focused on literary
literary and movies, but for sure you can't throw a stone without hitting a Harry Potter tour in London. You know? And not all of them are movie focused. There are, especially in if you go to Edinburgh, they do more like, this is where she wrote this and this was inspired by this, and then those types of tours for sure. Do you guys, George, do you have any favorite books for a place that you like to recommend to people?
Anybody want to go to Middle Earth? I probably come up with something, but outside of that, no.
Yeah, you and Dan can.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, and that honestly, that's my preference too. Every now and then, that you can find like urban fantasy, or you know, for different cities, things that are more fantasy set, but in
If you're going to Chicago, read the Dresden Files.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm also reading finally the J.D. Is it J.D. Robb or is it her alter ego? The Naked in Death. Yeah, J.D. Robb.
J.D. Robb is
That are set in New York City and sort of a pseudo futuristic society. I actually was told there would be vampires, but I haven't run into those yet.
Maybe I was promised vampires.
I know. I was like, this is not what I expected, but I really do enjoy it.
So. And you got to read Anne Rice for that.
Oh, no. Although she evokes place with New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she does. But I mean, if you look at the Vampire Armand, that's Paris. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Vampire Lestat was, you know, other parts of France.
Yeah.
And she's she does her research.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did another one called The Violin, and that was set in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
With the castrati. So, I mean, it was it really does make you feel like you want to walk around and see these places.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Did you have any others that you wanted to recommend, Donna?
Oh, anything by Philippa Gregory,
mm-hmm.
because she made Hampton Court come alive for me.
Yeah.
So now I want to go to London and I want to go see where Hampton Court is. I want to go on, you know, the pilgrimage around where Henry VIII went.
And go to the tower and see his armor.
Yes. Yes.
I see what you're saying there. I agree. I think historical fiction is a great way to do it.
Yes.
I mean, because it does sort of bring out, and we could talk about the Outlander series too. And the, honestly, some of Scotland's history, I really didn't know much about. It was very, very hazy, but reading that those books, you really pick it up and understand mm-hmm. the storyline behind it. And it is kind of a complex political interweaving. So it's not easy to, you just pick up on it. So yeah, having a story like that to tie things together and bring in some of those characters is really helpful.
So and those tend to be long books too.
Yes, yes, they do tend to be long. You are correct.
So yeah, you said you didn't want to focus on the United States, but it occurs to me that there are some really great beach reads that are set in like Savannah, Charleston, you know, places like that. But
the Outer Banks.
Yeah, like if you were going to spend a week.
Anything by Nicholas Sparks, yeah.
That would be a great thing to kind of just chill out on the beach and read. Yeah.
I can give an admission about my I didn't realize Rodanthe was actually a place. Like I thought he had made that up. And then I went to the Outer Banks with you actually, Sandy. And they're like, let's go to Rodanthe. I was like, oh, is it actually a place? I thought he died. What kind of name is that? I figured he made it up, but no.
Can we go to the Notebook too?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So do you have any others for the United States?
Of course, if you go on to Florida, you've got Dave Barry and Carl Hiaasen and Tim Dorsey. There's a ton mm-hmm. of usually humorous, you know, sort of mocking the headline Florida man, dot, mm-hmm. dot, dot. Wacky characters.
Yeah, I was going to say Florida is kind of a joke, though, yeah. isn't it? No offense, Florida. Sorry.
Yeah. Michael Chabon for Pittsburgh.
Did he write about Chicago? Who am I thinking of? No, that's... Oh gosh, who am I thinking of? That was a huge book like 20 years ago. Oh my gosh. Never mind. Cut that out. I can't remember what it was. It's the City of, no, not City of Bones. All right. I will think of this in the middle of the night and I will come record a soundbite.
Insert here.
Exactly.
Now, City of Bones is actually New York City.
Yeah, it's not City of Bones. It was. Oh my gosh, I can even see the book cover. It has the like skyline of Chicago.
Anything about the mob. I mean, if you're sitting there reading anything about Capone.
I would say anything about the mob because some of them are much more character focused. Some of the sort of gangster books are, you know, they're much more about the people and less about the place. The place becomes incidental. So I think.
What was the Dan Brown book that talked a lot about Washington, D.C.? Because, well, maybe not a lot, but it talked about the like Darth Vader thing on the National Cathedral. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Angels and Demons, I think.
No, Angels and Demons was Europe, right?
I think it was his second book. Well, no.
That is.
Well, second book.
That was famous.
Famous, yeah. Because he had another book before The Da Vinci Code.
That yeah.
Right. Famous. So maybe it was after The Da Vinci Code?
That's Angels and Demons.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's Paris, isn't it?
And then there was also Inferno.
I don't remember. All I remember is like...
Are you thinking about National Treasure, the movie?
No! No! He talked about this Darth Vader being on top of the National Cathedral. And I asked my friend Lewis, who works at the Library of Congress, and he was like, oh yeah, that's true. I was like, are you kidding?
That's funny.
Yeah.
But that's another one. The Da Vinci Code is one that you can do tours of in any city that is mentioned in the Da Vinci mm-hmm. Code. They have a tour for you. And in Paris, that's why I think Angels and Demons is Paris, because I'm pretty sure I was just looking through those for a client and that there was an Angels and Demons tour. Mm-hmm. So yeah, because those are puzzles and they sort of like went to so many places to solve things, everybody wants to see that stuff. But I don't know that that's so much. Do you think that's evoking place or do you think that's plot? That's really because the places are there.
That is such a librarian question.
Yeah, well, it's my episode and I'm nerding out. Dan, let's just have a conversation, shall we? Yeah, I feel like that's more plot.
It is set in specific places.
I mean, it's so historic. You know, there's
that. I just said it's kind of like the Harry Potter tours. It's like it's not evoking place, but you're geeking out about it mm-hmm. and going and saying, oh, this is where that scene happened mm-hmm. or that scene took place. And so, yeah.
Yeah, but the book still isn't about place.
Right.
But it still gets you to some of those churches that needed some love.
Which one?
Dan Brown one.
Yeah, so I mean, some of the Bernini statues and everything that you to go see at the Piazza del Popolo. Most people went to the Piazza, but they didn't necessarily go into the Chigi Chapel.
Yeah.
Until they saw that movie.
And I do agree that books like that make you see things differently. Yeah. Like you look at something much more closely after that. I think actually, and we talked about this before we started, but we did an episode years ago now with Dan on the same topic. And one of the things we talked, one of the cities we talked about was Venice. And we talked about Cornelia Funke and the Thief Lord. And I went to Venice and I didn't like fall in love with Venice. I went there. I was like, okay, this is what people said it was. But I didn't really get what the appeal was. Then I read that book and it made me want to go back to Venice. Cause I'm like, now I feel like I would see it a little bit differently. Cause she does such a beautiful job of describing it. Mm-hmm. And I think really when you ask me, you know, give me a book that where place is the big feature, that's one that comes to mind. And I've read Paris and I've read these books that are literally titled Place. Yeah. and I still think that Thief Lord sells the place better than anything else mm-hmm. does. It makes it really magical. I mean, it does have magic in it too, but it makes it really magical. So, all right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Remember, your local library, especially here in Wake County, is a great place to get suggestions for books to read before you travel. Then when you get back, we would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks once again to our very special guest, Dan.
Yay!
Oh, thanks.
On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly!